Siding Unlimited, named the best window installers, not just here, but in the whole USA. Get the best. Siding Unlimited, 5-time winner as America's best window installer. For windows you call Siding Unlimited, first and directly, SidingUnlimited.com.
Brewers take on the Guardians in Cleveland tonight. Another one of those stadiums that don't have a roof, climate controlled. So you're always looking at the weather. I was looking yesterday thinking, man, today's game could be in jeopardy.
Jeez. That's why we love our roof.
That's why we love our friend Adam McKelvey, who is on the ground in Cleveland. I assume he's touring the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Adam, how are things?
Things are good. I actually tried to go see West Side Market, which I heard was really cool here. And maybe it is, but it's also closed on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Oh,
so a 3.5-mile walk or not. Geez. But I did see... Do you guys know why the Guardians are called the Guardians?
No, fill us in. Well, maybe Greg knows. Do you know,
I don't.
Greg?
I don't.
Okay. Fun fact here.
Wow, something Greg doesn't know is very rare. There are these statues on this memorial bridge that dumps you right basically at the foot of the stadium. The Guardians of Traffic. It's an Art Deco series of statues, and they're each holding a different mode of transportation, from like covered wagons up to automobiles. And there are these famous, cool Art Deco towering statues on this bridge, and that was one of the ideas of why they became the Guardians. They're very, if you're a Clevelander, apparently you know exactly what these are. So my journey across the river was not for nothing, because I got to see those cool statues.
Oh, look at that. And you informed us all. I love it.
There you go.
Hey, I'm going to inform you on something. Typically, throughout like the days leading up to your hit, I'm always writing myself little notes. I got a little Brewers thing. Hey, I want to ask him about this. I want to ask him about this. And I was off last week, so I was like, I'm taking note, because I was a little out of tune compared to how I normally am. So I had Woodruff's potential return, !! But now, shoot, Adam, we've got a setback.
Yeah, it was. It's too bad. And, you know, probably some of the armchair GMs who enjoy playing along with roster moves are sort of scratching their head on this one, wondering if the Brewers are kind of finagling the rules in order to get him a little bit more time. We're told, you know, they insist that is not the case. This is a real issue that popped up. And we heard about it in Tampa as a minor thing before he made that last start. So they've known about this for the last week or so, that it was a potential issue. And then when you saw 29 pitches in his rehab start, it was supposed to come down, you know, to around 50, or I'm sorry, 39. 39 was lower than what we thought it was going to be. But Pat Murphy, after the game on Sunday, sort of indicated, like, because something went wrong, I would have heard about it by now. So I went ahead and, you know, I thought he was coming back until yesterday. And
Sure. Then
we get the news that he's not. So, you know, as I think Greg said, the good news is, this is not like a serious thing. It's not related to the shoulder, which is very good, but it is something that impacts him enough pitching that he's not going to come back. Because look, when he comes back, he faces a huge challenge, because we are not initially going to see the Brandon Woodruff that we saw in 2023 when he was pitching great before he got hurt. The velo is different. The action of his pitches is different, and they're working through that. And either he's going to be this new version of Brandon Woodruff and try to have success as that version, or he's going to, as he builds up, he's going to get back to the former version or something in between. Nobody knows what that's going to be, but he does face a challenge initially, because he's going to pitch a little differently than the last time he stepped foot on a major league mound. So that's something that, you know, a player in that position is going to want to feel right. And to get out there with this ankle, injury on his drive leg, it just wasn't, nobody thought it was a good idea. So hence they bump it back and he'll remain on the IL a little bit longer.
Adam McKelvey joining us, Brewers.com writer. He is in Cleveland. Brewers take on the Guardians today. Our coverage gets underway at 4:30. A very scientific question here, Adam. I expect a very scientific answer. Are the Brewers good?
No,
right now they're not good. And Pat Murphy says they're not good. He's come right out and said that offensively, they're not good. I don't think they're very good defensively right now either, which is weird. Now, the field in Tampa was strange. That is a Major League spring training stadium, so it's a nice field. It's nicer than the one your kids are playing on tonight, but it's not, you know, Major League stadium nice. So that impacted, for example, Jackson Chourio made his first career error. The field played a role in that. Not that they're going to, like, he's not going to say that's why it happened, but it was a factor in that error. And the ball kind of was squirrely in the infield and things like that. But they're not elite defensively. And that's the kind of thing, okay, they lose Willy Adames. You expect them to be a different kind of offense. They'll try to score with aggressive base running and putting the ball in play and bunting. And they did that at times this year. So I can see the offense being down or different. Pitching, you can sort of say, okay, they are completely crushed by starting pitching injuries. So it's not completely unfathomable that their pitching isn't as good as maybe we thought it was going to be or what it can be once they get some of these pieces back. The defense being down, though, that's something that shouldn't waver because it's many of the same players who are out there. They are missing Blake Perkins and Garrett Mitchell in center field. That's big. Those are Gold Glove caliber defensive players, and it makes you put Jackson Chourio in center where he's doesn't look as good as he does in the corners, just to be honest. But the fact that defense is down, I think, is one of the weirder things of this. And it just fits into the bigger picture of they're just not playing great. They're not clicking. They're not rattling off victories. They're suffering losing streaks in ways that they didn't last season. They are just, as Pat Murphy says, missing that edge right now. And it doesn't mean that that's the way this whole season's going to go, by the way. I know a lot of people are down right now. But, you know, this is a very young team, especially on the position player side. And just as they look a little, you know, not good right now, they can look very good in a couple of weeks. That's what young players do. And they are going to do this major league development thing. You know, in other words, develop players at the major league level, which they talk about. That's just how they have to do things here. And they have talented players. So they could very easily be a better team than they look right now. But right now they are really searching for that identity, that edge, as Murph calls it, kind of that swagger that they had for a lot of last year.
Well, we hope they find their swagger soon, that's for sure. Adam, I saw on your social media, and I thought this was really endearing, Christian Yelich, his bat, with a tribute to his mom for Mother's Day. What do you know about that?
Well, I think the fans know how close he is with his mom because she's very present at the ballpark. We see her on the road all the time. They are a very tight-knit family, the three boys. And, you know, the way Jason Schauger is the Brewers equipment manager, who he doesn't want credit for stuff like this, but I always try to give it to him because he is the man who has the foresight to do so many thoughtful things, because you don't just roll into Mother's Day and say, hey, it'd be cool to have mom's name on the bat. This is planned months earlier with Louisville Slugger in Yelich's case. And, you know, someone needs to think of it. And
right.
I think the Schauger thought, look, he has a million pink bats from all these years with the Brewers and all these Mother's Days. Let's do something a little different. And he knew how close Yelich was with his mom. And a really cool touch. So they texted her to let her know what was happening. And then Yelich said when he landed here in Cleveland, he'd give her a call. She's back in California. So they had
so
a nice
sweet.
Chat.
Yeah, it was. It was a cool little postgame thing. And I saw Freddie got his 1,000th strikeout, albeit in a loss yesterday, but a milestone mark for a guy who it's hard to imagine he's been around that long, I guess, Adam. But here we are, 7 years into his big league career, but not many have achieved that total in a Brewers uniform.
Four have. Higuera, Sheets, Gallardo, and Freddie. And according to Sophia's numbers, I didn't do the math on it, but Freddie got there 200 innings quicker than the next quickest guy. Mm. So he has been a strikeout pitcher over the years. Look, I still think of his debut on, speaking of Mother's Day, at the Rockies as that's a top five game for me. That's a top five day in my little era of Brewers history.
That's big.
So special when he wasn't supposed to be there. He was supposed to be in Colorado Springs. His parents were going to see him pitch professionally for the first time. And then they get a call and say, hold up, why don't you drive up to Denver and start here instead? And the whole family schleps up to Denver in a Suburban. And they get this incredible, magical 13 strikeout, near no hitter debut, one of the coolest days ever. And you think about that was the start of it. Those were the first 13. And then last night he gets to 1,000. And speaking of cool touches, on his nameplate above his locker last night, where it normally would say Peralta 51, they gave him a new nameplate by the time the game ended, and it said Peralta 1K. So just a cool touch for a milestone. Look, he'd rather win, obviously. That takes some of the shine off it, but still a good personal moment and plenty more to come. He's 28 years old.
Well, I know we're looking ahead to the game tonight against the Guardians, but I'm also looking ahead to Saturday because it's WTMJ Day at the Brewers game, which is going to be a blast. We're playing the Twins. And I'm curious for you guys because the cribbage boards, that's a giveaway thanks to WTMJ that day. So everybody's going to get a cribbage board. People are pumped about
this. Well, 25,000.
25,000. Yeah, I should be specific about that. That's true. Good point. So 25,000 people.
Get there early.
Yes, get it. But people are so pumped about this. So I'm curious, do you both play cribbage? Do you know the rules?
I do. I love cribbage.
You do?
That's great.
It's a beloved game here in Wisconsin, but I don't think I remember the rules. How about you, Adam?
Well, we'd explain the rules if you have another 35 minutes to explain pegging and knobs and
see, that's why I probably don't remember the rules.
Gina's very confused.
I love cribbage, but I am not. Greg, are you a guy who can lay the cards on and just see the score? Or do you just have to go 15-2, 15-4?
Yeah, that's exactly how I do it. My dad does it the other way. He does the cards go down, and he starts writing down a total. I was like, wait a minute, he didn't count it out. But sometimes the reason I count it out loud is in case I miss something or I don't see something, I almost need somebody to be counting with me. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes I miss something that I think I thought I had, but maybe I didn't have it after all.
Well, I'll tease a story because the Brewers television guys, Jeff Levering and Vinny Rotino on this trip, have for 3 years now a daily game that is very serious. And there's a spreadsheet with the results and
a daily game of cribbage,
trash talking, and they play cribbage every single day before the game. And I sat with them in Tampa for one of their games. So I'll have a story one of the days this week, maybe on the off day, I'll roll it out. And those guys are the cribbage. They are the kings of cribbage. Rowdy Tellez once declared himself the greatest to ever play the game. now that he's moved on, I think it's Vinny and Levering, the Levtino Cribbage Classic, they call it.
Oh, that's great. I love that. Can't wait for that story.
Always good stuff. Great information. Gina is trying to find a creative title for this podcast. I'm going to suggest Pegging, Knobs, and Double Runs. That'll be the title of our podcast with Adam McKelvey. Adam, thank you so much. We'll check it again next week.
That could have so many different meanings if you don't know cribbage. You better be careful what kind of podcast you start.
Uh-oh.
A very good point. Enjoy your time in Cleveland, Adam. See you soon.
Thanks, Adam.
See ya.
Brewers and Guardians tonight. Weather looks a little bit iffy. Some rain in the area, but hopefully they get this thing in. Coverage begins at 4:30 on WTMJ. It's 12:50.